to be a part of this meeting. Blessed to be here. Appreciate Brother Robert and Ms. Kelly and the church here that puts the meeting on. Thank you, preacher. And puts the meeting on and takes care of the preachers and all that you do. It's not forgotten. I was talking to a preacher sometime back that's put these meetings on like this for years, and he said to me, he said, it's getting harder every year to put them on. He said, because a lot of the people that used to would work in them have quit church now. You've got less people to work them than you used to have to work them. And he said, we're just about to the point we're going to have to quit putting ours on. And boy, I'll tell you, we can't let that happen, folks. We need help. We need one another. I was thinking coming over and then I'll preach. I've tried my best to try to find the mind of God today. But if there was some way that we could measure some scale, some determining factor to try to determine how many burdens has been carried even in this crowd today, it would be amazing at the weight of the burdens that's carried here. And I've got them. Things that happened even this week at our church that just broke my heart. And you've got them. We've all got them. And so we need help. And I'm believing that in these days, Craig and him got up and sung about Jesus, and I'm believing these days the Lord is driving us away from cliques and cliches and trying to clone one another and trying to just get us back to looking at the Lord Jesus Christ. He's our strength. We had a couple ladies yesterday get up at the church. They sung an old Negro spiritual. I'd never heard it before. And just an old spiritual. And it just a simple statement was, just give me Jesus. And they just kept repeating that little old statement. Man, it got on. I'll tell you, friend, I ain't got nothing to brag about this afternoon but the Lord Jesus. That's all I've got to brag on is the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm nothing. I don't mean to hurt your feelings, but neither are you. None of us. None of us. But I sure am glad for my precious Lord today. It's been so gracious, so kind, so faithful, and will continue to do that. Let's all stand, if you would, please, and turn to two portions of Scripture. I want you to turn to the book of Philippians, please. Philippians chapter number 2. It's a very familiar Scripture. And then in the book of John chapter number 13. What time are you eating, preacher? At 5? 5:30, okay. I'll try not to preach that long, but every preacher that's ever stood in a place like this really wants to preach what God wants. I was tired last night and went to study about 10 o'clock and got down to pray, and I said, Lord, please, I'd rather not preach. I didn't come today, folks, to be seen, but I sure would like to be a help to you. I really, before God, I would really like to be a help to you. And I know that only God can do that. And I want you to try this evening to be patient with me. We'll try to run through this, and I believe when we get to the end of it, maybe the Lord will help us. In Philippians chapter number 2 this evening, and look, if you will, please, in verse number 6. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant. Took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and been found in fashion as a man. He humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in the earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I want you to pray for me. I'm a little nervous this evening. I mean that. I'm here. I want to be a help. I want to be a help. Verse 7, I want you to call you back to that before we go to John. Being made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant. I want to use this as a launching place. I want to go to John 13, but I want to preach on serving as Jesus served. serving as Jesus served. Not many folk want to be a servant today. It's harder to serve people than you've ever had in your life. I want to preach on serving. Our example is John chapter 13. The Bible said, now before the feast of the Passover, John 13, 1, when Jesus knew that His hour was come, that He should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved His own which were in the world, He loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray Him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into His hands, that He was come from God and went to God, He riseth from supper, and laid aside His garments, and took a towel, and girded Himself. After that, He poureth water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with a towel wherewith He was girded. Then cometh He to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto Him, Lord, what doest Thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do, thou knowest not, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith to him, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, know ye not, or know ye what I have done to you? You call me Master and Lord. You say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. Bear with me one more verse. I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen. But that the Scripture may be fulfilled, he that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Let's bow to pray. Father, Lord, I bow before you this hour, God needing the help of the Lord. Lord, you know the nervousness and the tense that somehow is in me this evening. Lord, I did not come this evening to impress. I come to glorify you. And Lord, I come to be a help, God, if possible, to this people. And Lord, I want to ask you for the power of God. I want to ask you, Lord, for the touch of heaven to be on my heart and mind. And our Father, that you would help me, God, to say those things, Lord, that Jesus would say. Oh, dear God, Lord, if He were standing here. Oh, dear God, Lord, I sense a great burden here this hour. And Lord, I know there's a load upon people's hearts and souls. And Lord, please, would you somehow restore and re-energize and help us to be recommitted, dear God, to the cause of our Lord. We love you and we thank you for just saving us and keeping us and working in our heart those things that you've done. Please help us now, God. I'm depending on you, Lord. I'm looking to you, dear God, for help, for strength and unction and power and wisdom, dear God, to preach this hour. And Lord, for all you do, we'll thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. and amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Men said a minute ago that I want to preach on serving as Jesus served. Let me state this statement again. I'm finding it harder to serve people than I've ever seen in my life. People are opinionated today. They're impatient. They're ill-mannered, out of control. They're selfish. They're self-loving. They're self-seeking and self-promoting. Our generation's taught everybody everything to be about themselves. The Dr. Phil syndrome, the Oprah syndrome, the psychology syndrome. Everything's that life's about me. And I'll just be honest with you. If you'd be honest with me, you'd say the same thing. We had rather in this flesh be served as be a servant. I believe that's true. I want you to listen at me. Servants are not born. They're made. Jesus made himself of no reputation. Servants are not born. We come into this world, our parents start serving us, putting bottles in our mouth, washing us, cleaning us, giving to us, dallying to us, and it sets the mold for the rest of our life that we think everybody is supposed to serve us for the rest of our life. Now, I want to say this in a humble way. This passage of Scripture in John chapter 13 is primarily directed at the men of God. He's talking to those that the Lord has sent, those that are the preachers, the men of God. Now, I want to tell you this, and I'll come to my text so much I want to have to jump and try to get through this if I can this evening. But I found this to be true in this days of my life, that after being hurt so much, trying to serve people so much, getting stabbed in the back, getting my heart broke, getting let down, getting defeated, getting done bad and done wrong, you're not careful, you get to the place that you just won't want to anymore. Just bow under the load of being a servant unto men. But I want to tell you, friend, God has always blessed those that are willing to be a servant of God. You know the name that the Lord gave to the Lord Jesus Christ in the Old Testament? In Isaiah 42, He said, "Behold, my servant, whom I have uphold, mine elect, whom my soul delighteth. I put my spirit upon him." In Isaiah 53, He said again, "He is my servant." In Zechariah, God calls Jesus His servant. Let me say this, and I'll come quickly to my text because I've got a long way to go. You'll never become more like Jesus than you're willing to serve people. Oh, would you help me here now? I know this week could preach something maybe that would have been a little more glorious and all that, but I believe the Lord would have us to hear today that we need to recommit ourselves to just being a servant of the Lord. Amen. Boy, I tell you, I think one of the greatest statements ever made about Moses there, when Moses died, God told Joshua, He said, "Moses, my servant, is dead." Amen. I tell you, friend, Jesus said this. He called them unto Him in Matthew 20. He said, "You know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many." Thank God, friend. What you and I are to do as the people of God are become the servants of God where we live in this world. Amen. Let me try to skip over a lot of this and come to what I really want to say. I really think as we look here at the example of our Lord in foot washing, of course we know that's not an ordinance, but it's an example. I really believe when we look at foot washing here that we skip what might be some of the greatest truth as we come to that foot washing. And that is verse 1 through verse number 3. These verses prepare you for the example that the Lord did in washing the feet of the disciples. Let me talk about, first of all, tonight, this evening, on some things that the Lord Jesus recognized as He served. Some things the Lord Jesus recognized as He served. Let me take my time. I've got to preach slow. In verse 1, He said this, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew," look at that little word, "knew." He's recognizing something. Look at verse number 3. "Jesus knowing," He's recognizing something. Look in verse 12, the last statement. He said He was set down again. He said unto them, "Know ye what I have done to you." Look at verse 18. "I speak not of you all, I know." He's recognizing something. He's got something in His mind as He's preparing to leave the church an example about how we are to serve other people. I don't want to take a lot of time with the first truth here, because I've got too far to go. But let me say in verse number 1, He recognizes His departure. He knows that He is about to depart. Look at verse 1. "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that His hour was come, that He should depart out of this world." He recognizes His departure. He knows that He's getting ready. Listen at me now. He knows that in just a few more days, His life on earth is going to be over. Now, I don't know that. I don't know when my life on this earth is going to be over. That's the reason Paul said in Galatians 6:10, "As you have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially those that are the household of faith." Listen to this now. Jesus knows that in just another few days, He's going to, actually, tomorrow, He's going to be betrayed this night, and it's setting in order Calvary. Listen to this now. Listen to me, friend. If you knew tonight that this is your last night on this earth, what would you be thinking about? What would you be thinking about? Oh, listen to this. Look what He said here. "Having loved His own which were in the world, He loved them unto the end." I can't get too bogged down this or not get through my message. But listen to me. He had His mind on serving people, knowing it was His last night on the earth. I don't know whether that's big to you or not, that's big to me. Most of us had wanted to be with our wife. We'd have wanted to be with our children. We'd have wanted to be with people and made those closest around us. Jesus is saying His last act on the earth is to be that He is a servant unto men. He knows that His heartaches, His misery, His troubles, His trials, His temptations, His tears. He knows that all of that is going to be stopped in just another few hours. And He wants to leave an example that we need to serve men. Well, let's go to a second truth real quickly, because there's a long way. I really want to get some things here. Not only He recognizes His departure, but look at verse number 3. "Jesus knowing," watch this now, "that the Father had given all things into His hand, and that He was come from God." He'd only recognize His departure. Listen to me, folks. He recognizes His deity. He knows He's come from God. Help me, Lord. I feel rushed. He knows who He is. He knows who He is. He is equal with God. Amen. Here's the one that is God incarnate in the flesh. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself. Amen, friend. He knows who He is. Stay with me here. Let me preach a little while if I can. Can I use one of you boys here just a minute? He knows, friend, who He is. I want you to get a hold of this. Here's God. You know what God's doing? You know what God is doing? Do you know what the God that created the heavens and the earth is doing? He knows who He is. And here He is. Look at Him. Look at Him. He's down here. He's down here with the smelly, dirty feet of humanity. This is not a dignitary. This is not a king. This is not a son that don't know who he is. I want to tell you, here's God. Oh, Lord, please help us here. God, please, Lord, help us. Amen. Here is God, down on his hands and his knees, washing the feet of dirty humanity. What an humbling thought. I ain't even started yet. What an humbling thought to know that he, the Son of God, very God of their gods, and then we, dirty humanity, are ashamed to get down to the lowest position. We're too good, too advanced, too exalted. You remember when you first got saved? Oh, I can't get stirred down here too long, but you remember when you first got saved? Hey man, you're just glad to be a child of God. You're just glad to do anything for the Lord. I can't imagine God washing man's feet. I want you to look beyond the flesh of Jesus. I want you to look at who he is. Here's the one that said, "Let there be light." Here's the one that created the universe. Here's the one that upholds all things by the word of his power. Here's the one that's keeping the stars from falling from their sockets, that cares enough to get down, praise God, and get men's feet in his hand and wash them. Sometime back, I got so hurt. I got hurt the worst ever got hurt in my whole life. I got hurt so bad there wasn't even an ounce of fight left in me. I couldn't even talk to my wife about it. I got hurt so bad. And I come to the house crying. And I was saying what David said. Well, what did I do when he went to see his brethren? What did I do? And I thought, I told my wife, I said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to go in the pulpit and preach to them a little bit and let them go their way. You remember me and you having a conversation about like that once down through the barriers? We're talking about we're just going to get to where we don't care no more. You remember what I told you? I said, if you get to where you don't care no more, you just well quit. And I thought I'd just quit serving. And I'd just kind of do like everybody else, just slide through and get it over with. But I'll tell you, friend, there's something inside my soul. Amen to God. The Lord stepped down from heaven one day, come down to where I was, and saved my soul. I want to help do what I can for him while I can. Let me hurry on here. I've got this last truth I really want to get to in a few minutes. He recognizes his deity. His being eternal, equal with God. His eternal glory and his essential greatness is recognized by him. He didn't point that out for no reason. He says, I want y'all to know. I know who I am. I know who I am. I want you to know that this is God's washing your feet. I know where I came from. I came out from God. He recognizes his departure. He recognizes his deity. Don't you look at something else in verse 3. Not only he recognized his departure and his deity, but look at verse 3. He said, Jesus, therefore, Jesus knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands. He don't recognize his departure that's coming. He recognizes his deity as Christ, but he recognizes his dignity. Listen to me now. He says, God has put all things in my hands. He recognizes that he now has all power. I'm going somewhere. Stay with me. He said this in John 17. He said, as the Father hath given to the Son to have all power over all flesh, here's the one that's got all power. All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Amen. He's got all power. Listen to this now. I'm just trying to magnify something here a few minutes. He's got all destinies of all men in his hands. He's controlling all dynasties. He's got all disease, all death, all demons, and all disasters. Everything's in his hands. I'm trying to magnify him a minute. But oh, here's one that's got all power, that's humbling himself, Brother Robert, to bow down to the feet of man to serve as a common slave. There's probably people right here that you've just about given up wanting to serve. Not only has he got all power, I'll come to the last truth here in a few minutes, where I'm driving that. He's got all pardon in his hand. Luke 24:47 said that repentance and remission of sins are to be preached in his name. Here's one that everybody that's going to get their sins forgiven and get right with God are going to have to bow to him. But here he is bowing to them. A lot of things we could say. He's got all perception. He said this in Matthew 11:27, all things are delivered to me of my Father. No man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son. And he whomsoever the Son will reveal him. He's got all perception. Nothing hidden from him. He sees all. He knows all. He understands everything. He's got all punishment in his hand. John 5 said this, that God hath committed to the Son all judgment. Here's the one that's going to judge the entire world someday. I'm trying to magnify this truth. That God's own Son become the picture of a slave servant to give you and I a picture of what we're to be. I struggled with this. I wanted to preach something else, but God wouldn't give me direction no other way. Could it be that you've been so hurt? Some years back, we don't have many cookouts and all that mess at the church. And we had a cookout, you know, and got together and they brought 4 or 5 grills. And I cooked 200 hamburgers and hot dogs by myself. Somebody come to me and one of them was a little pink inside. Trying to watch 200 hamburgers and hot dogs. This is just a small thing. They come there, open that thing up and said, you look right there. That ain't done. Man, I wanted to say, if you get in my face again, I'm going to slam you in the coals.
In the name of Jesus.
Yeah. In the Holy Ghost. I went home and I told my wife, I said, that'll be the last hamburger fry we'll ever have. You've gotten every church, that crowd that'll serve, and that crowd that'll sit back and quarrel and fuss and won't do nothing. Then when it don't go right, they're going to tell you about it. It takes humility, friend, not to want to stick your fist so far down your throat that they'll have to have a tonsillectomy to get it back. I'm telling you, friend, Jesus has got all power, all pardon, all perception, all punishment, and all possessions. He's the heir of the whole world. And yet here's God. He recognizes his departure. He recognizes his deity. He recognizes his dignity. He recognizes his destiny. Look here what he said in verse 3 again. He said, Jesus, knowing there that the Father had given all things into His hands, that He was come from God, and here's His destiny. And He went to God. He knows where He's going. Oh, I'd like to plug in right there about an hour. Where's He going? His destiny is a throne. He's going to sit down at the right hand of God. He knows where He's going. He knows where He's at. He knows where He's been. And He knows where He's come from. Listen to me. If you know where you come from, if you know who you are and where you're going, thank God, friend, it ain't going to hurt you too bad to serve while you're here. He's destined to a throne. Listen to this a minute. He's destined to a title. I want to point this out to you. Look in Philippians chapter 2 one more time. Then I'll come to the meat of what I'm really wanting to say this evening. Philippians chapter 2. Look at this now, verse 6. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation, took upon Him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. What's the first word of verse 9? Wherefore. Now you know the story about what the word wherefore means, don't you? It means that something that's just been said is based upon what I'm about to say. Wherefore, God has also highly exalted Him, given Him name that's above every name. Now, don't you listen to this. You'll disagree with it till you listen at me closed. Have I got your attention? God did not give the throne and the title to the Lord Jesus Christ because of His sonship. He gave it to Him because of His stewardship. Wherefore, because He became a servant, and because He humbled Himself, because He became like a man, because He was willing to serve other people. Listen, His throne and His title was not given to Him because of His sonship. It was given to Him because of His servanthood, servantship as a servant. Listen, He who became, will you not agree, that Jesus Christ humbled Himself lower than anybody had ever humbled Himself. Will you agree with that? Then are you surprised that God exalted Him higher than anybody's ever been exalted? Exaltation does not come by going up. The lower you get, the lower you get, the higher God will exalt you. Oh my. He knew where He's headed. You'll never attain to greatness by wanting to be served. My wife, some of y'all, she's been here every year, but she had to start school today and didn't get to come. My wife, and I'm not trying to brag on her particularly, but if I've ever seen a person in my entire life that's got the spirit of a servant, it's my wife. Some years back, there's a bunch of dirty dishes there. And my wife didn't go to college. And one of the ladies of the church said, I tell you right now, I didn't go to college to wash dirty dishes. Most of us would have flew mad. My wife said, I didn't either, and just fell into washing dishes. That's all said. That's enough. I said, I ain't going to do no work around the church. I'm going to, as a preacher, I'm not going to serve them people. They don't care about me no how. They don't really worry about me. I'm tired of serving them people. I tell you, if you want to be great, if you want to be great, if you want to be great, everybody wants to be great. Whose eyes you want to be great in? I've got to hurry here and come to my last truth, or at least the second one. Listen, look here, folk. Listen to me. I wish I could say this in a way that it would mean something to your heart. All I care about in these days of my life, I really do. I don't care about nothing else. I want my life to glorify the God that gave Himself for me. That's all I care about. Brother Robert, that's all I care about. I don't care where I ever ascend the spirit, the ladder with church and people, and I don't care where I'm ever even seen. When I come to the end of this journey, I want God to have been glorified with my life. Listen, neither the coming sorrows nor the resulting joy that Jesus was going through was going to deter Him from the action of being a servant. Now listen to this a minute. I'm going to jump some of this. Some things that the Lord Jesus recognized as He served. Go back to John 13 a minute. I want you to look not only at some things that Jesus recognized as He served, but I want you to look at some things that the Lord Jesus realized as He served. And I'm not going to talk about this, and I just want to mention it. He realized, first of all, the purpose for washing their feet. I'm not going to preach on that. But then He realized something about the people whose feet He was washing. Something about the people. Look at verse 4. He riseth from supper, laid aside His garments, took a towel, girded Himself. After He poured water into a basin, began to wash the disciples' feet, to wipe them with the towel wherewith His girded. Then cometh He to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto Him, Lord, dost Thou wash my feet? Verse 8, Peter saith unto Him, Thou shalt never wash my feet, Jesus. Listen now. If I can get this across without, I'm not wanting you to shout, I want you to listen to me. The first thing He realized about the people whose feet He was washing, He realized there were those who are going to resist His ministry. Peter said, you're not going to wash me. Jesus knew that He's resisting His ministry. Listen to me. There are going to probably be far more people that resist your ministry than will ever receive it. I thought about this coming over here today, driving over. I preached this about a year ago at our church, and God dealt my heart with it heavy last night. But I never said this a year ago because I never seen it until driving over here today, meditating. I believe it's right. It will be easier to get people to accept your ministry of trying to get them converted and saved than to get them clean after they've been saved a while. I've never had too many to resist and fight too hard. The ministry of conversion. It's that ministry of trying to wash them and clean them up. They're going to resist your ministry. You're going to have family that are going to resist church. Listen. Oh, Lord. Oh, help me, Lord. I'm going to tell you what I found. Listen now. I don't say how to say this in an arrogant way. God knows my heart. I'm not a novice anymore. I didn't start preaching yesterday. I've been preaching 33 years. I'm going to tell you what I've learned. If you leave them alone, you just let them kind of go around the wilderness for 40 years. Life with them, cut up with them, have a good time with them, don't bother them. Don't never try to stop them. Say, hey, ain't you tired of this? It's time you get up and go on over into Canaan land and do everything you can do for God and be everything. Listen, when you try to get them to go that extra mile of getting them cleaned up, that's when they're going to resist you. Listen, Peter didn't resist Jesus in the area of conversion. It was the area of cleansing. Now here's what happens. Help me, Lord. Look like we are going to be 5:30 for supper. Here's what happens. Come here now. Come here, boys. You try to lead them, and they don't want to follow. You get tired. You try to lead them until they don't want to follow. Until you just get tired, and that's why you say, well, who cares? Leave them alone. You boys can be seated. Listen to me a minute. I found this, Brother Robert. All of my ministry, when you really want God, when you really want Him to be more than just a mediocre Christian and go all the way with God, they'll buck you. They don't want clean feet. They'll say, no! Let me just stop just a minute and back up a second. If I can say this. Being a servant requires no education, no experience, and no eloquence. All it requires is an emptying of your flesh. And so, here's one. Listen, whoa, listen. Just because they resist don't mean you're to stop. How many people would have ever got clean if you'd have just stopped? Every parent in here must continue to say, hey, I don't care if they are resisting what I'm trying to do. Hey, try to explain it to them. Try to get them clean. Listen, you know, the thrust of this passage really is this, that it is our responsibility as brothers and sisters in the Lord and especially as men of God to try to help see that each other stay clean before God. It's my place to try to help Brother Barry. It's Barry's place to try to help me. It's this man of God's place. He ain't here to entertain you. He's here for one reason. To humble himself, act like Jesus act, and try to clean and polish. We could preach for an hour about not only the people, but that purpose. He said, wash my hands too. The Lord said, you don't need your hands washed. There was two washings as the priest went toward the temple. There was the washing in the blood, which spoke of sin being expiated and taken away. But then when that work's done, you don't need the blood washing again. It's the laver washing. Washing by the Word that you might be clean. Hallelujah. That you might get on back there in the glory place where God's at and enjoy the Lord. All this man of God's trying to do is get you back there that you can enjoy the Lord. A lot could be said, but time won't permit. He really... Look at this a minute. I want you to look at this verse of Scripture. 2 Corinthians 11. Look at it. 2 Corinthians 11. Verse 29. I want you to look at this. Who is weak? And I am not weak. Who is offended? Look at this now. Who is offended? And I burn not. If you ever get offended in your service, you stop burning, your ministry's ruined. Are you here? Are y'all listening to me? I know it's a little scattered, but you say, what do you mean, burn? You ever said, Brother Barry? Man, it just burnt me up. Here's what happened. If you ever start burning, but you get burned, you'll get to the place that you don't want to serve nobody. And what you do, Brother Robert, if you're not careful, man, when you get to burning because you got hurt, you'll forget about the rest of them that you might wash up. You got that one old cantankerous missionary sitting there. And you got 100 other people there. And that one is causing you to burn. And every time you come to the church house, if you're not careful, instead of trying to serve the other 99, you're burning over that one, and everything you're doing is directed at that one. And you forget about them others that need your help. There's a second thing I want you to notice quickly. Go back to John 13. Not only the people whose feet he washed, he realized those who were resisting his ministry. But look at verse 7. Jesus answered and said unto him, I've just now calmed down. I've been too nervous ever since I've been up here. Verse 7, Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do, thou knowest not, but thou shalt know hereafter. Not only he realized those who resisted his ministry, but he realized there were those who did not recognize his motive. He said, you don't understand what I'm doing. They don't know what you're trying to do. A mother quarreling at her kids, trying to get them to live for God. They don't understand that. I have run a lot of people off, and over the years the devil said, if you just let up, you'd have a little more people, and you would. There's about three or four I could change on their building and run over. We've went through about 300, 400 since I've been there. They do pretty good when they walk in on two or three shouting meetings. That's the church they've been looking for since as a boy. But then when it comes time you quit shouting and you get their feet in their hand, your hands, and you start trying to wash them up, here's what they say. Preacher, I'm all right. I don't feel like I'm too bad. I don't feel dirty. They're not going to recognize your motive. Are you listening out there? They're not going to recognize your motive. Jesus, listen to this. I like this. You ever see those little passages of Scripture? Jesus didn't answer them anything. He just let time teach them. Jesus said, I go to Jerusalem. We can go down there and Lazarus is dead. I'm going to raise him. They said, what do you mean? Jesus didn't answer them too much. He just said, let's go, boys. He let time. These things, friend, listen to me. I've tried with the best of my ability sometimes to wash people's feet and clean them and try to get them closer to God, but they weren't interested. They even mistook my motive. Man, won't you leave me alone? You trying to jerk me around? You trying to stuff your religion down my throat? You trying to make me like you? I ain't you, preacher. You trying to steal my joy? Well, we're doing pretty good the way we are. They will not recognize your motive. I read of a missionary in Africa years back. I'll be done here in a few minutes. That a fella had his esophagus crushed. And this missionary was about to do a tracheotomy on the man. Cut a hole in his throat and insert a straw that he could breathe and save his life. And the people there on the mission field did not know. They held him, no, you can't cut on a man and save his life. And that missionary watched while they held him. He watched him smother to death and die because they misunderstood his motive by wanting to take a knife and cut a hole in his throat. How many people are you going to try, Miss Kelly, with everything in you to help? And they're not going to understand your motive. And they're going to accuse you and slam you and lie on you and walk off from you and tell everybody why the church wasn't friendly and you know all the stuff we could say there. And all the time the problem is they simply do not understand that you see something that they don't. You see something they don't. We had a young preacher this week to quit. I talked to him last Thursday night. He said, "Preacher, I'm not saying this about me. God in heaven knows that." He said, "I believe you're the best Bible preacher I've ever heard." But he said, "That ain't enough." I said, "What do you want?" He said, I just need some fellowships and some times to sit down and laugh." And I said, "There's nothing wrong with that." I said, "But I'm going to tell you one thing. I'd rather be a Bible preacher. Just go ahead and try to wash them. They're going to leave you. But someday, thank God, I want you to know Jesus' exaltation was not down here." It wasn't till he left here that he was recognized. Hey, your reward is not down here. Listen to this now. Not only he realized those who resisted his ministry. He realized those who didn't recognize his motive. But he realized, number three, listen at me now. He realized he's washing the feet of one who has rejected him as master. Judas. He says, "I know who it is among us that don't believe. And I know who it is among us that ain't saved." And you know what he did? I believe this. You can study the text. I ain't got time to take it and prove it to you. I personally believe that Jesus washed Judas's feet. And I believe here's what he did. Son, can I borrow you again? I believe here's what he did. I believe he did this. I believe as he looked up to Judas, he said, "Whither's greater? He who is sent. He who sends you." I believe him burning eyes. That conviction. I believe he's looking right in the face while he's washing his feet. You're going to have to wash people's feet who's going to reject your authority. They're going to reject your authority. They're going to reject the position that God put you in. He washed the feet of a man. Listen, I personally believe this. I do not believe any human being on the face of God's earth at that time hurt the Lord Jesus like Judas did. But I'll tell you what, to put your Christianity and your servitude to test, washing those who you know at that time has got a knife plunged in your back. I can see the Lord coming down the line. And Peter's done argued with him. He's washed another or two. He comes to Judas and He doesn't know, son. He already knows that Judas is betraying him. He washes his feet anyway. I said, I ain't helping them people stab me in the back. I ain't going to befriend those that have rejected my authority and my position as a pastor. Let me give you this real quickly. Help me, Lord. I know it's getting about supper time here. Listen to me. I think sometimes we miss what Jesus said there in John 6, what Peter said rather. Jesus said, have not I chosen you 12, and one of you's a devil. And what he said, wasn't it? He knew from the beginning who it was that would betray him. And then many of them turned and went away. Jesus said, will you also go away? Listen to this. I wonder if we really realize what Peter said here. Listen to this. You know what Peter said? He said, Lord, we believe and we are sure. That's what he said. What did Jesus say next? He said, I've chosen you 12 and one of you is a devil. You know what he said? Do you know what he really said? If this is Mullen's phraseology, but you know what he really said? He said, you better be careful. You might not be as sure about what you think you know. He said, we believe and are sure. We 12. Peter said, all 12 of us believe and all 12 of us are sure. Jesus said, I've chosen you 12 and one of you's a devil. You better not be sure about people you think you are. There's people sitting in your crowd. You've been trying to wash their feet for 25 years and they do not know God a bit more than nothing. And you know, when it really comes out, when the master is trying to exercise authority and lordship over them. I've pastored people. I'm as sure as lost as I'm in living in this world. What am I to do? I'm to keep trying to wash their feet. There are people that's going to resist your ministry, not recognize your motive, and going to reject you as master. Let me give you this hurriedly here. A fourth thing that he realized. He realized that this same crowd is going to run from the mob when they come out after him. Hey! He knows that the night he's betrayed, the whole crowd's going to forsake him. I said, I ain't going to humble myself and serve that crowd. They'll leave me after a while anyway. He knew they'd leave him. He knew they'd leave him. You know what he did? I'm about done here now. He kept loving them. He kept bowing to them. He kept serving them. He kept feeding them. He knew that thousands he fed over there were going to turn away in the same chapter. That same thousands that he fed went back when he got them with a doctrinal issue that no man can come to God except to the Son, except the Father would have sent him drunk. The minute he began to preach deep doctrine about conviction, lordship didn't save, they left him, but he fed them anyway. Let me give you this last truth and I'm done. This is 3 out of 6. Some things that the Lord Jesus recognized. Some things the Lord Jesus realized. I've got 2 or 3 minutes. Some things the Lord Jesus revealed while washing their feet. First of all, he realized that the humility of those who serve. A lot could be said there, but I want to look at this and look at verse 17. Not only the humility of those who serve. Look at verse 17. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them. The happiness of those who serve. Happiest people in the world, not people being served. happiest people in the world, those who serve Him. But look at what He said in verse 18. Did you catch the connection? I speak not of you all. Unsaved people will never be happy serving. People that's got to be dallied to, served, have their way all the time. A lot of time that crowd don't know God a bit more than nothing. You tell them, I've said so and I'm ashamed to say it. He said, happy are you if you serve. But I'm not talking about all of you. Judas never was happy trying to serve nobody. You know why? Unsaved people are selfish. It's not, do you get saved? Your heart gets broken, your will gets broken, you get submitted to God, that you become willing to serve, and then there is a joy then in your heart when you get to serve God. Look at John 12, and I'm closed. Look at John 12, and I'm done. He revealed the humility of those that serve. He revealed the happiness of those that serve. And then He revealed the honor of those that serve. John 12, 23, and Jesus answered them, saying, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except the corn of wheat fall on the ground and die, abideth alone. But if it die, bringeth forth much fruit. Watch it now. He that loveth his life shall lose it. He that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. Watch it. If any man serve me, let him follow me. Where I am, there shall my servant also my servant be. If any man serve me, if any man serve me, him will my Father honor. There's an honor that He reveals in service. Listen to this verse, and I'm done. I want you to look at it. Let's read it. Look at Luke 22. I promise you I'm done. Luke 22. Look at verse 24. Luke 22, 24. There was also strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. He said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them. They that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so. But he that's greatest among you, let him be as the younger. He that is chief, as he that doeth serve. For whither is greater? He that sitteth at meat or he that serveth is not he that sitteth at meat. Look at these last few words, and I'm closed. But I am among you as he that serveth. How are you among us? Serving as Jesus served.